Hot damn, 5 minutes past six on Snow FM breakfast, and guess what day it is?
Is it Wednesday?
It is Wednesday, always when we have to guess. Hump day, as some people say, but I do not subscribe to that particular definition.
Fair enough. Hey, Simo, we've talked before on the show about how I like to walk to work, and whenever I do, I always seem to walk through spider's webs.
A bit of moisture around today as well.
Yeah, there is a little bit of rain around. Have fingers crossed we get some more rain a bit later on today. But Simo, this morning I walked through a spider's web, but it wasn't just a normal area that I would walk. I was smack bang in the middle of an open park.
Nice.
And somehow there was a spider's web that I walked through.
You do have that talent.
I don't know. There's something about they're attracted to me. They must be attracted to me.
Did you work out how this came to pass?
No. I've got no idea.
What kind of spider was it?
Again, I don't know. Probably now an angry one because I've destroyed its home.
So it was just an after the fact?
Yeah.
They got to start again.
All because of me.
Who's the bloke that painted the roof in Italy?
What?
The guy. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Science. History. Yeah. Lesson. Who was it? Was it Michelangelo? The guy that
So painted the cathedral roof. Okay, now that makes sense. When you said a guy who painted a roof in Italy, I'm just thinking of any random bloke that painted his home.
Could have been anyone.
Good. Now that you... Yeah, okay. Makes sense now.
There you go. You messed with the Michelangelo spider's work for this morning.
I can only apologise.
Honestly. Disclosure, mixed up the Lord Magnets this morning, 22 minutes past 6, Snow FM breakfast, Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I'm going to open up old wounds from yesterday. If you're listening yesterday, you would have heard Simo was shocked by my, whenever I go to the supermarket, I don't have some kind of order.
They're only old wounds if you've taken offence.
Well, I didn't take offence from the supermarket because I don't sell fences, but I did want to bring up the fact, so just quickly, so you start in the fresh food section, kind of weave your way through and do frozen at the end.
Yeah, and so far, from our census data, I seem to have the most in common with the general populace.
We will get to that in a moment, whereas I just kind of, I don't have an order, I just think I need this item, I'm going to walk there, grab it, and then I need this on the other side of the supermarket, I'm going to walk there and grab it. It does mean, yes, I do have to retrace my steps, but on the other side of hand, I don't go to the gym, so that's kind of my workout.
You're an agent of chaos.
Well, Simo, yesterday, I was doing my shopping, doing my strategy.
Okay.
Right down the other end of the supermarket, as far away from the fresh food and veg section that you can get.
Were you buying batteries or something?
No, I was frozen food section.
Okay, yeah.
And then I noted that I needed an onion.
Okay.
So I proceeded to pick up the basket and walk to the fresh fruit and veg section.
From one side of the store to the other.
And then,
yep.
What should I see as I turn around and look in the shelf there? An onion.
Okay, nice.
Completely perfect.
Yep.
It's not like it was bruised or anything like that. It was completely perfect.
Yeah.
So I just grabbed it and that saved me walking all the way to the other side of the supermarket.
Was that...
To get that onion that I needed.
Was that an onion just sitting on the shelf?
Yes.
Like, out of place?
Yes.
You realise that's a second-hand onion.
So I think someone... Yeah, but it's an onion. So someone's obviously grabbed the onion, put it in their basket, and then later on in their shopping worked out, oh, no, I don't need this onion, but I'm too lazy to walk and put it back. I'll just pop it here.
You don't know where that onion's been.
Well, I mean, you don't know where any onion's been. How do you know that when you go and just get your onion from the rest of the onions, that someone hasn't been walking around with it and decided, I don't need this onion, but instead of just popping it there, I'm going to walk back and put it back? How do you know that?
Okay, granted, you don't know that, but if someone's going to, like... Have you done that? Like, you've displaced items?
Look, not going to lie. Might have done.
Yeah. So, in your right mind, have you ever then returned the item back in its section... more than two aisles away.
Ooh.
Never.
Fair point.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. But, okay, well, with this onion, if it was something the way you, like, eat all of it, then maybe I would have thought against it. But I mean, you had the skin on it, and you discard that anyway.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fine.
That's fine.
I'm just saying you shouldn't bank on that happening often.
Well, I do.
So now are you, like...
So I very rarely go eat onions, because this never happens.
I love the fact that you're someone who sticks by their principles, and also sticks by the lazy mentality. So it's like,
exactly.
I'm not going to go and shop anywhere else but the frozen section first, but now I'm trying to work out ways in order for me not to have to go all the way through the supermarket. So you're like just on the lookout for like scavenging the stuff that people don't want anymore by the time they get to the frozen section.
Yep, that is me when I go shopping. What can I say?
Panic at the Disco. Remain calm. That was Hey Ma, Look. I Made It on Snow FM. It's Simo and Jord with you, 20 to 7. And some food trends of last year were downright weird. I think there was one dude who admitted to putting, I reckon it was watermelon on pizza.
Is that a food trend, though, or is that just one weird guy?
I think it's just one weird guy. Yeah. And from one weird guy to the next, Gene Simmons.
I wouldn't call him weird. He's the lead singer of Kiss. Is that correct? Have I got that right?
He's the bass guitarist.
Oh, the bass guitarist.
Kiss.
Okay.
Does a bit of singing there as well. He's the guy with the giant tongue. That guy.
Please never do that again.
And this year, it's found out that he puts something a bit odd in his cereal, which seems to be on brand for rock stars.
Well, hang on. So let's say Gene Simmons, he's a big rock star, been with Kiss for so many years.
Yeah.
Okay, number one, I'm shocked that he eats cereal. This is very nutritious and all that sort of thing. Not sure that that's what I expected a rock star to be eating.
Well,
what does he put, like vodka or something?
Well, it's funny you say that because I read Jimmy Barnes's book.
Yeah.
And he put two tabs of a little hallucinogenic in his cereal, no, his porridge for a year.
Interesting.
So he's a different cat.
Why just one year? 1 year was enough.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
But Gene Simmons, he's putting ice cubes in there.
Wait, ice cubes in his cereal. He's putting milk in it as well, I assume.
Yes.
And just some ice cubes as well.
Hmm.
That's why? Does he give a reason why? To hydrate himself?
No. Or literally just ask the question. I think he's just looking for someone else like him. He sent out the tweet. He's like, anyone else put ice cubes in their cereal?
Oh, so I see. So he put out a tweet of himself eating cereal with ice cubes in it.
There it is right there.
Looking to see if anyone else did this.
Yes, there's milk, ice cubes, and then it looks like he's got a couple of different brands of cereal involved there.
So he wants to know if anyone else does this.
Yep.
Does anyone else do this? I think I know which way I'd favour.
I don't know if anyone else does, but the most responded to comment is his own son, Nick.
Yeah.
And it says, 30 years. 30 years watching him do this. This is my life. He's unfortunate.
Yeah, I didn't just... He does know he's essentially just putting water in his cereal, right? Because that's all ice is.
Yeah, I don't know what the go is. Like, do you think the temperature of cereal is better cooled down?
I haven't had it frozen before. I do note that there's not a cereal ice cream flavour, so maybe it's not good cold.
Yeah, it's worth noting as well, the cereal that he's eating is the kind you don't feed your kids at a young age.
Oh, is it the really sugary one?
Full of sugar. What are you doing, Gene? Honestly.
Well, putting ice cubes in his cereal, obviously.
He's probably got the tongue to deal with it, though.
If anyone did have the tongue to deal with it, Gene Simmons would be the man.
Here's Conrad Sewell, Snow FM Breakfast. She gets dressed. One Republic lover running out on Snow FM at Breakfast. Simo and Jordan with you, about to hit 7:15. And I'm just wondering at what lengths you would go to support a friend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would like to think I'd go to... Excuse me, the same lengths as everyone else.
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
How about this one? Would you like this guy here? His name is Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
He gave himself up to police, requesting to be jailed for several months in order to support his girlfriend that was going to spend some months in jail.
Yeah, very few people go to the cops saying, I want to be in jail.
Yeah.
You know, you imagine when he rolled up to the police station and the cop sort of said, hang on, sorry, wait, you want to leave jail? No, I want to be in.
Yeah, admit me. So Raymond also explained that he needed to go to jail because his girlfriend would be stressed without him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure exactly...
Did they let him? Did they just say, yeah, if you really want.
I mean, there's a couple more issues to get through with Raymond.
I mean, yes, I'm not going to deny that there are various issues
yeah.
with just a guy saying, oh, by the way, can I go to jail?
So you're not going to go to that length if one of your mates is in the big house?
No, one of my mates was in the big house.
No, I'm not going to.
Nah, I'll go and visit you every now and again.
Okay, fair call.
Mm.
Nah, so Raymond, he's got a couple of other problems to deal with other than just requesting to be put into jail.
Can I just... I just thought of something. Well, imagine if he says, oh, can you put me in jail for 7 months? They go, yeah, right. And then they put him in a different jail.
Yeah, well...
Oh, this you should have specified, mate.
This is where things get a little bit unfortunate for him because he's overshot a bit. So Raymond, he's 47 years of age. His girlfriend's spending 5 months in jail. In order to get himself jailed, he's gone and done something a little bit... You know, it's not great.
Oh, so they didn't allow him to go to the jail.
That's right. So he went and got himself arrested so he could spend a bit of time in jail. He was then caught in possession of methamphetamine, heroin, drug paraphernalia. So looks like he's going to be in jail a lot longer than his girlfriend.
Then is his girlfriend going to hang around?
She'll probably ask.
I've still got 2 years on my sentence. You want to hang around?
Oh, dear. Lizzo, here it is. Juice, Snow FM. Samantha Jade, always on Snow FM Breakfast. It's Simo and Jordan with you for your Wednesday.
And Simo, this morning we are doing a little bit of fortune telling. We're going to try and predict the future. Considering this is our first week of doing shows for the year 2020, we thought that, you know, it would be a good idea to try and predict some things that would happen in the year 2020.
I'm going to list them. We're going to tick them off as they happen throughout 2020. So here it is.
Yeah, so Simo, yesterday we looked at how many gold medals Australia would get in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Today, we're going to see if we can predict who should be Australia's Eurovision entrant.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you don't know what the Eurovision Song Contest is, essentially it's a big song contest that happens in Europe. Lots of artists get together. Each country has a song that represents it, and then they vote on which one is the best.
Yep.
Even though Eurovision Europe, for some reason, Australia are involved as well.
Yeah, we just like to get involved.
You can get involved too. Head on over to Snow FM Instagram story. Let us know who you think should be Australia's Eurovision contestant. Simo, Eurovision does throw up. Not all the songs are good.
Makes a lot of people throw up, if I'm honest.
Fair point. Not all the songs are good. A lot of them are pretty disastrous, like this one.
All right, so you've got some here.
We are the winners. We are the winners.
One of the poorer choices.
Does it have to be Eastern European?
I've got to do my geography. Yeah, I think so. They're Eastern European.
Yep.
So this was a 2006 entrant by Lithuania.
Oh, yeah.
Called We Are the Winners. Evidently, it came sixth.
Yep.
So it was not the winner, safe to say.
We are the sixth.
We are the sixth.
Good luck to the Lithuanians.
Doesn't really work. Sixth is a respectable result, I guess.
Whatever keeps them busy over there in Lithuania, I believe it's a beautiful part of the world.
I've never been, but I'm sure it is. So should I go first with my prediction?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, well, I had a couple of thoughts when I was thinking about these yesterday. First, I thought I would go for, well, this Aussie classic.
What about me?
Oh, yeah, Shannon. I don't know how the salt patch is going over there in Europe. I think
the Eurovision this year is in the Netherlands. I would just love to see all of Rotterdam just rocking out to this in, like, singlets.
Shannon.
So that was my first thought, Simo.
Yeah.
But then I thought, you know what? As good as Shannon is,
yep,
we can kind of take it up a notch.
Okay.
And we can go better. And I would personally, like I said, I'd love to see all of Europe singing along to that. I would love even more to see all of Europe singing along to this.
Hot potato, hot potato.
Oh, yeah.
The Wiggles is my prediction of who's going to be Australia's 2020 Eurovision entrant. I would love to see Jeff falling asleep on the Eurovision stage.
I like the idea that you're championing the Wiggles. Of course, they're back doing a relief concert. I think this is more of what Jordan wants to see as opposed to what is actually going to happen.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, they've actually announced there's, like, a short list of, like, 10 artists, and the Wiggles and Shannon Knoll aren't on it. I think Casey Donovan is. and a couple of others. But, yeah, I would love to see the Wiggles.
Yeah, I reckon the Wiggles, that's a good shout.
I reckon we could win.
I mean, I think adding the Wiggles to the Eurovision would give us a red-hot go, because are they recognised internationally?
Yeah, they're huge in America, admittedly. America famous for not being where Eurovision is.
Alrighty.
But, anyway, this could be their chance to break the European market.
Okay, so you are going with the Wiggles for Eurovision 2020.
Yeah.
Now, I need to pick one, don't I?
Yes.
Now, I've had to come up with, because you know how all fortune tellers have, like, a bit of a shtick. They have a thing that they have, like crystal balls or tea leaves or something they can see the future.
I mean, you've been drinking a cup of tea this morning.
Yep.
Are you reading your tea leaves?
There's no leaves in there. There's one, and that's a bag situation. But what I have found is that there's a woman who tells the future a little bit differently to most. And I think
see.
It's a technique. I think it's the technique that speaks to me, if I'm honest.
Interesting.
Here is how she goes about it. It's so good.
One woman says the way to predict the future really is with asparagus. Jemima Packington is the world's only asparamancer, and she has predicted everything from Brexit to boy band breakups using asparagus stalks.
Oh.
Okay, so many questions.
So many questions.
The major being, this is the one that speaks to me so much,
yep.
And it's asparagus.
Yeah.
Didn't realise you were such a fan of asparagus.
Well, I hate to tell Janice that she's no longer the world's only asparamancer.
Oh, are you becoming an asparamancer?
Enter the fray, Simo the asparamancer.
So what, are you going to try and
I'm going to cast these. I got some asparagus stalks over here.
How do you tell the future with asparagus other than this? The future's going to be green, slightly woody, with a slightly leafy end?
Yeah. Look, we'll see how we go. As soon as they're cast, I'll know.
All right. Cast them? Like, do you use them like a Harry Potter wand or something, casting a spell?
Okay, so the way that you cast...
Oh, some of the asparagus fell on the floor.
They're already speaking to me, Jordan.
They've already said this fall. The segment coming up is going to be a disaster. It's falling on the floor. Simo, abandon the asparagus.
No,
it's
no,
not going to work.
No, they're already speaking to me, Jordan. Can't you hear them?
Hang on, let's just listen out.
So I'm going to cast the asparagus.
I didn't know the asparagus could play musical instruments.
And I'm going to tell the future that's going to happen next. Now, the way that you cast asparagus is you...
I tell you what, don't tell me. Just surprise me. We'll get into it next.
All right.
Starley's Call on Me this morning. Snow FM Breakfast, Simo and Jordan with you. 6 minutes before your 8 o'clock.
And we are in the middle of predicting the future and predicting what will happen in the year 2020. We are looking to try and predict who will be Australia's Eurovision entrant this year. Head on over to the Snow FM Instagram story. You can let us know who you reckon it'll be. I reckon it'll be the Wiggles.
Yep.
Simo, you've got some weird way of figuring out who it's going to be.
It is quite possibly my favourite thing I have ever found in recent memory.
Okay, so what are you doing?
So there's a woman I've discovered that tells the future with asparagus stalks.
I see.
Okay, so I figure I needed all the help I could possibly get to see the future.
Simo has brought in some asparagus. Where did you get your mythical fortune-telling asparagus?
From the local shop.
From the supermarket.
Yeah.
Just imagine there was someone else going, cool, I want some asparagus for dinner, I'll take this. And then there's Simo, I want to tell the future.
I don't know if she grows it herself, the official asparamancer. But this is her discussing her process, if you like.
I'm known as the world's only asparamancer.
Wait, say it again.
Asparamancer. But I make predictions using asparagus.
Really?
Yes. I'm the only one in the world.
Not anymore.
All right, so how do you tell predictions via asparagus? Right, how does it all work?
Okay, so basically I've got to cast the asparagus. I've been watching how she does it.
Mm-hmm.
So just safe to say, I just wanted to mention that she's no longer the only asparamancer in the world.
Yeah, but she would have seen that coming with the asparagus. She would have woken up this morning, cast her asparagus, and, oh, it's a bad day for me. I'm going to lose my crown.
It's too good. All right. I feel nervous, if I'm honest.
And let's face it, she's probably going to cast tomorrow and go, oh, I've regained my crown, because I doubt that Simo's going to do this for any longer than this. All right, so you've got the asparagus there. You've taken all the rubber bands off. How do you cast it? What do you do?
So basically, you just got to, like, throw them in a non-aggressive manner. So you want to kind of like jumble them like
at,
how you
at with the wall or at someone, or are you throwing asparagus at me? Is that how this is happening?
Oh, you know, like almost like a deck of cards is how you got to treat them.
Okay,
does that make sense?
No.
Okay,
because it's asparagus.
All right, here we go.
All right, Simo has got he's got the asparagus in his hand.
Ask the question of the asparagus, Jordan.
Who will be Australia's 2020 Eurovision contestant? Asparagus has now been thrown all over the floor. There is an utter mess in the studio.
All right, I see a W. There's a W there. See, like, if you look, there's a W there.
Hang on, I can't see it from where I am. Okay, so I'm going to wander around to your side of the desk, Simo.
Yeah, do it. Go, come on,
the
have a look.
Asparagus.
Yeah.
It just looks like there's a mess of asparagus. Where is the W?
Yeah, there's a W.
Have you ever seen a W in your life?
There you go. No.
Does not look like... That looks like more like a H with a line through it.
Are you an asparamancer?
No, neither are you.
I am now. That's right, a W there.
Apparently there's a W.
Stick with me. All right.
Okay.
So there's a W there.
All right.
You're trying to think of an Australian artist that starts with W.
And I reckon.
Think of one.
Does that look like a T to you?
No, it looks
there?
Like asparagus on the floor.
That looks like a W. That looks like a T. And that one there looks like a B. So W, B, T. That one, that looks like a C. Who has a name that starts with W, C, or B, T?
All right, I've come back to my.
I know this one,
now.
Jordan.
W, C, B, T.
W, C. None other than Wes Carr.
Wes Carr.
Yeah. I think the BT comes because he performed under the name Buffalo Tails for around 2 years.
You know too much about Wes Carr. And I mean, Wes Carr, now I think about it, would fit the bill of being someone who was on a reality TV show and hasn't done anything for a couple of years and is now coming back. Wait, he was in one of the, I think it was like the third or fourth season of Australian Idol. He might have won it actually back in the day.
Yeah. I think Wes Carr will be the Australian Eurovision performer.
Do we have any Wes Carr songs in the system? I just saw you typing on your screen there.
There he is! Thank you, Asparamancer, with the Wes Carr prediction.
And just when it's not Wes Carr, what are you going to do?
Oh, I just stepped on some asparagus. Wasted Snow FM breakfast. Simo and Jordan with you. That was Peking Duck, which is a dish, and so is tuna.
Good observation.
And
although, is there a band that plays electronic music called Tuna?
There is now, somewhere.
Please welcome to the stage, Tuna.
That'd go off. We're discussing Tuna this morning because the first, basically, the first Tuna has been sold over there in Japan and they go nuts for it.
Yeah.
We just kind of eat it in a can as a good source of protein.
Yeah, but this is a full Tuna. You've got a picture over there. It looks huge. I'd say at least, a metre to a metre and a half and quite fat as well.
Yep. Giant Japanese Tuna sells for $2.6 million in the first 2020 Tokyo auction.
Hang on. $2.6 million.
Yes, indeed, Jordan.
Okay, tuna's quite expensive at the best of times when you buy it fresh like that.
Yep.
$2.6 million.
Mm-hmm.
God, imagine if, the second tuna they brought out was, double the size.
Awkward.
The bloke's just there, he's just spent $2.6 million on this tuna. And now here's tuna number two. It's double the size and it's going for, $10. Anyone want it? It's like, oh, I just spent $2.6 on the other one.
276-kilogram tuna. First auction of the year. That's a big tuna.
That is that would keep me full for quite a while.
Kiyoshi Kimura, he's nicknamed the Sushi King. Mm-hmm. He runs a sushi restaurant chain called Sushi Zenmai in Tokyo. And he spent the second highest price on a record single fish this is ever.
He's got just a lazy $2.6 million in disposable income
for a
there.
Fish, yeah. They asked him for a comment and he said, "This is the best." I don't know if he's just enjoying himself or
fair enough.
Referring to the fish.
I mean, I have no idea about this sushi restaurant that he owns, but I assume it's just like, you know, your neighbourhood sushi restaurant. I assume it's quite a big deal in Tokyo, is this?
He also mentioned that, yes, this is expensive, isn't it? I want our customers to eat very tasty ones this year.
Fair enough.
Good on him.
Fair enough. I don't know whether the first would taste any different to the rest of them, but, you know, I guess it would.
And this brings me to the time of year in Australia where tuna is also very, very celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
So, those that maybe don't know me, I spent 2 years in Australia's capital of tuna fishing.
Which is?
Port Lincoln.
Oh, so regional South Australia?
That's right. And they celebrate tuna at a similar time of year. So, while over there in Japan that they're selling fish for $2.6 million, what they're doing down under in Australia is throwing fish in celebration.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know what old mate's going to do with his $2.6 million tuna. I doubt that he would throw it.
No.
In fact, the fact that he owns a sushi restaurant, we can probably draw our own conclusions as to what's going to be the fate of that tuna.
So I'll be heading back there during 2 weeks off to go and have this experience of tuna being thrown around.
So what is this? A tuna throwing festival? Is that what it is? Or?
Yeah, it's called Tunarama.
Tunarama. Like the name.
How good is it?
Love it.
And here, I've got a bit of audio, actually, from last year. tastes so good.
So that's necessarily to back off because you could get hit by a fish.
Exactly.
Imagine
right.
if you didn't know that this was happening on that day, and you're just walking through the park.
Yep.
And you just think, oh, did you know with your kids or whatever, I might go kick the football or do something, and then just all of a sudden the fish flies through the air.
It's hilarious. So that was some audio captured by my good self.
Can I ask, how do they throw it? Is it like a javelin style at the Olympics? Or?
Doesn't matter. Any way you want. You just gotta stay behind the line.
Can you kick it?
Yeah, but it's not the most successful technique.
I think I just get it like a footy and just kick it?
Because they're 15 kilos, I reckon.
Oh.
Yeah.
How big are we talking? Like 45 centimetres or so?
Yeah.
Or? Okay, so they're decent-sized tuna. And what's the record for? Do you know what won it last year, or at least roughly?
I couldn't tell you. There's like...
I mean, you could just make it up. I'm not going to fact-check this.
Last year, I think the winner was 17 metres.
17 metres.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, admittedly, I've never thrown a tuna before. I reckon that's doable.
Mate.
I could certainly throw a can of tuna.
Yeah, that's more like
one of the 200-gram cans of tuna. I could throw that 17 metres.
Yeah, so, and this is, it's systemic all through the culture out there in South Australia in regards to not only, so all the adults, so once you get to kind of 18 and over, mm-hmm. you throw the fully grown tuna.
Yeah.
At a younger age, you throw, if you're, I think it's 12-year-olds through to 17, they throw salmon.
Oh, so that's the junior tuna.
Yeah, that's the junior.
Salmon, which I think is more expensive.
And then it trickles down from there. So the kids...
What, like the babies are just throwing like sardines or something?
Prawns, actually.
Oh, prawns.
So 6 years of age and upwards to 12, I think they throw... That's the prawn throw.
And what, so you're going back to for this event. Are you taking part? Are you going to be throwing
I get on the
fish?
Mic. I get on the mic and I do a bit of this.
Going.
It's ridiculous.
Is that your commentary?
Yep.
Going. Still going. And it has still going, and now it's stopped.
Very odd, isn't it?
Well, did you not think about it? I reckon you should give it a go. Throw the tuna.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, throw the fish.
Throw the tuna upon occasion, so...
You know how in the Olympics they've got the hammer throw, which is the one where they spin around and around and around to get up momentum and then throw it? It always amazes me that they manage to... Because when you're spinning around, you can get a bit disorientated and a bit dizzy.
Mm.
And they've obviously got all the nets around that sort of thing if in the Olympics you do accidentally throw it the wrong way.
Yeah.
But I think you can see where this is going.
And, same issue. So...
But they don't have the nets.
No, they have the nets.
Oh, okay, good.
We have fish nets.
Oh, good. Okay, genius.
How good.
Brilliant use for them.
Unbelievable. Camila Cabello...